you have your Bibles, we'll be in Genesis 22, the passage that you heard about Abraham and Isaac. It's a bedrock story of all of Scripture. So much of Scripture, of redemptive history, salvation history, builds on this story. So there's a lot that we could glean from it. There's a lot of different ways we could look at it, but let's try to just take a basic look. What is this story about? Well, it's about two men, a man of faith and a man of promise. It's also about a father and his only son. And still, it's also about God and his provision. It's about a man of faith and a man of promise. The Lord promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. From him would come as many descendants as the stars in the heavens and as the sand on the seashore. Through this man, Abraham, all nations of the earth would be blessed. God even changed his name from Exalted Father to the Father of Multitudes, even though Abraham wasn't a father at all. He didn't have any children at that point. God promised that he and his wife Sarah would have a son, and he waited 25 years from the day that that promise was first made to the day that his son arrived. And God used that time to shape Abraham into a man of faith, trusting God. The promise came to pass in the miraculous birth of Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Can you imagine a 90-year-old woman having a baby? Her womb was well past childbearing potential, yet he arrived. And according to God's instruction, they named him Isaac, which means laughter. Laughter about the craziness of it all. Laughter out of Sarah's unbelief that it would come true, then laughter at their joy when it did come true. God's promises for a son, his promises for the multitudes of people to come through this son, his promises of blessings for all the nations, would all be met in this boy. Not Ishmael, not any other, this boy. Abraham's journey, his journey of faith, comes together in this boy, Isaac. Isaac represents Abraham's past and his future. He represents the decades that it took for Abraham to learn to trust the Lord. He represents the day in and day out obedience from the day that Abraham left his own country, living in the land that was promised to his descendants until this day. That's his past. But Isaac also represents his future, Abraham's future hopes. Although the promise of a son had been fulfilled, Abraham wasn't out of the woods yet. Imagine if something were to happen to Isaac. Anything could happen in a split second when Abraham was not close enough to rescue him. Was Abraham protective of Isaac as a child? Overprotective, maybe. Did he come to the point where he had settled in his heart that he couldn't protect Isaac from every danger? Had his faith grown to the point where he could say that I can't rescue him from every possible mishap? In his role as a father, Abraham must have deepened in his faith as a man trusting in God and trusting Isaac to God. It's important to note that although this passage that we're about to get into in Genesis 22 uses the word boy to refer to Isaac, it's not like we should think of him as a little kid. A boy could be little boy, but it could also be young man. So think about Jake. We wouldn't call him boy. That might be, he might not take that well. But when you're living to be 175 years old like Abraham did, a 30-year-old, a 25-year-old is still a boy. And, I don't know, maybe some might think of me as a boy. You get the idea. It's relative. Isaac was a young man, possibly in his 20s or 30s, and at this point he was no longer the boy of promise. He was a man of promise. And it could be that as Isaac grew up, Abraham learned to put Isaac, along with his own past and his own future, into God's hands. If not, he's about to. The Lord God tests Abraham. God calls his name, Abraham, father of multitudes. And Abraham responds, "Here I am. Here I am. For whatever you will, here I am. I'm yours." And God goes about proving and perfecting Abraham's faith. In his infinite wisdom and for his divine purposes, the Lord said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Has Abraham reached the point where he can say, "Isaac belongs to you, Lord. Everything that you've given me, everything that you've promised me, belongs to you, and I'll give it in any way that you ask." God asks this of you, too, and of me, not to sacrifice a child in the literal sense, but to sacrifice everything that he has put in our hands. He calls you to have such faith in his promises that you can let go of whatever comes between now and the fulfillment of the promise, leaving it all in God's hands. You can sit in the darkness of the unknown. You can sit in the darkness of grief when it looks like your life is too shattered for God to complete his work in you, for him to complete his work for you. Search God's face in prayer. Reflect on the scriptures to make sure that you've got the promises right. And when you know that you've got them right, even when it looks like the vehicle of that promise is taken away from you, you can entrust all of it, your life, the promise, the future, all of it to God's wisdom, putting it in his capable hands. Isaac was the promise. Isaac was the vehicle for future promises. But God requires Abraham to let go of the promise and at the same time to hold on to the promise. God calls Abraham to lay hold of the God of the promise in faith and fear. He tells Abraham, "Offer Isaac as a burnt offering." And what does Abraham do? He obeys immediately. He gets up early in the morning. He picks out some servants to come with him. He wakes up Isaac. He cuts the wood. And they set out for the land of Moriah. Abraham obeys immediately, and his obedience remains unwavering. It's a three-day journey. During that three-day journey, Abraham doesn't turn back. He doesn't try to negotiate with God. He doesn't try to get a fuller understanding of what God is doing or why he's doing it. His faith is demonstrated in his obedience, immediate and unwavering. God doesn't owe him any further explanation because he has all the information that he needs. A single command and a lifetime of seeing God's faithfulness. Go sacrifice. And he goes. There's a mysterious paradox at work here. Faithful obedience produces more faith. Obedience deepens faith. We tend to get it backwards. We want a full explanation first. We want our intellectual demands satisfied first. Then we might, maybe, be willing to trust. And after we have enough trust, then we might obey. God works the other way around. Believe, obey, and he will grant you greater faith to grasp him better and to believe him more for those things that you don't understand yet. Having obeyed, look what Abraham is able to say to his young men. "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. I and the boy will return." And look how he responds to Isaac. Abraham put the wood on Isaac and they walked together towards the mountain. And after some time, Isaac breaks the silence between them and says to his father, "Abraham, my father." And Abraham said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And listen to what Abraham says. By faith, "God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Did you hear that? In those two instances, obedience has deepened Abraham's faith to such a degree that he makes two astonishing statements. "The boy and I will return. God will provide for himself the lamb." Abraham isn't lying to the servants when he says they'll return. And he's not just appeasing Isaac, trying not to scare him with another lie. He has reconciled God's promise of the future with his current command. The two are reconciled in the power of God himself. God can raise Isaac from the dead. God can gather him up from the ashes and breathe into him life as he had done with Adam when he shaped him out of the dust. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that Abraham knew God could raise Isaac from the dead. The man of faith will offer up the man of promise, but they will go home together alive. This story is also about a father and his only son. We've been hearing some of that. It's not just about a man of faith and a man of promise, but a father and a son. The son rises early at the word of his father. He takes the 3-day journey. At the end of the journey, he takes the wood that the father takes off the donkey, and he carries the wood himself. He speaks to his father in submission, out of submission to his lead. And the son tells the father what is on his heart, what's on his mind. And the father responds in tenderness, saying to him, "Here I am, my son." The same response that he gave to God, he gives to his son. A stance, a response of readiness, of selflessness. "I present myself to you. I'm open to hearing you. What's on your mind?" 11 times the passage refers to Isaac as son, highlighting the fact that Abraham and Isaac, that their lives are bound to each other as father and son. Their lives are bound together by the promise that they both share. It's bound together by their common fate and their common faith. But they're also bound together by spirit and blood. They share in each other's lives. This is intensified so much more when the Lord calls Isaac Abraham's only son and the son he loves. The bond they share is one of love. And now they share the bond of a common burden. The text tells us twice that they walk, the two of them, together. Father and son walk shoulder to shoulder, each one carrying his own burden in the offering to God. One bears the instruments of sacrifice, the fire and the knife. The other bears the wood. The loving union of father and son together move forward in the mutual act of offering the son. They ascend the mountain. At the top, Abraham builds an altar. He arranges the wood. Will God intervene? Abraham doesn't know that this is a test and only a test. How far will this go? Abraham thoughtfully, solemnly obeys. The father binds the son. He lays him on the altar. And Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter the son. Pause for a moment. There's no mention of anger being appeased here. There's no vengeance. There's no portrayal of a son being betrayed by his father. The son submits to the actions of the father. He goes silently, willingly, obediently, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. As much as Abraham offered him on the altar, so Isaac offered himself. But the Lord stops the action. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I now know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." The fear of God is perfected in obedience. Abraham finds that his faith was not misplaced when he said that God would provide a lamb for himself. The story continues as God and his provision. Abraham turns to see a ram caught in the thicket. He sees a ram entangled in the curse that God placed on the earth for man's sin. He saw it caught by its thorns, as it were, with a crown of thorns. What Abraham told the servants was true. Father and son would return together from their worship. What Abraham told Isaac was true. God would provide the sacrifice for himself. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Abraham offered this ram as an offering instead of Isaac. God provided a substitute sacrifice. The life of the ram for the life of Isaac. In that substitution, in that sacrifice, Abraham received back Isaac from the dead. The father received his son back from the dead. Isaac himself received new life. A man born miraculously from a woman who had no possibility of conception now gives himself voluntarily as an offering. And in doing so, God gives his life back to him. His life was offered to God, and the life that God alone can give is given to him. He arose from the altar of wood by God's provision. Listen again to what Abraham told Isaac. It can be read two ways. God will provide for himself a lamb, and God will provide himself a lamb. Both are true. Look what God is letting Abraham see in this scene. Through Abraham's faithful obedience, he sees all the promises confirmed, but so much more. He sees how the promises would play out in history. The promise was, "In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." St. Paul in Galatians tells us that this promise, he calls it the gospel. The promise was the gospel, a foreshadowing of the justifications that Gentiles would receive by faith. Abraham has just acted out what will happen. God would provide a substitute sacrifice for himself, of himself. A divine son would willingly offer his life, laying it down freely out of love, no one taking it from him. The father would walk with the son in his part of the sacrifice out of love for the whole world, giving him up so that all who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And God would raise this son up from an altar of wood, a son whose life was given to him miraculously from one who could not conceive, a virgin, would be granted life again in the resurrection from the dead. And life from him to all people. All nations would be blessed by following Abraham, this man of faith, in his faith. A lamb who is identified with mankind would bear away the sins of mankind. But he wouldn't bear your sins away or mine by being burned on an altar. Listen to what Hebrews 10 says, quoting Psalm 40. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you take no pleasure." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. Thousands and thousands of lambs and bulls and goats were offered to God on behalf of sinners throughout Israel's history. But the world needed a permanent sacrifice, a final substitution. The world needed someone to step into humanity without the sin of humanity. It needed someone to identify with us such that it could be the sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ came as a man. And as a man, he ascended the mount of the Lord. And he made that sacrifice of himself for you and for me on the wood of the cross. Jesus makes the provision for you when he says, "Here I am. Here I am to do your will, Father." The spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This morning, afresh, take hold of him through faith. Put your life, your past, your future, even the future of eternal life in his hands. Accept him again, still as your substitute. By his Spirit, call him Lord. By his Spirit, offer yourself to him as a living sacrifice. As such, you can endure the trials of this life, though you may not see the way laid out for you step by step. You can endure it until he comes again. See this morning what Abraham saw. The promises fulfilled in a new covenant of Christ's blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, the sins of the whole world. And feed on him by faith this morning in your hearts with thanksgiving. Amen.